on Sunday, May the 6th, is going to be our baptism service. So that gives you three Sundays counting today. We've never done a baptism service here before, and so I'm tremendously looking forward to this. I've had several of you that have asked about the opportunity to do that. Maybe you never have, or maybe, as I said earlier, that it was quite a long time ago. But you know, the final words of Jesus are ones that have given us direction as a church, as a whole, since that very day. The last words that Jesus spoke. Because if you knew that what you were going to say to a family member or to a friend was the last thing that you were ever going to say, my guess would be that you wouldn't want it to be something frivolous or without any real importance. If you've got one last thing to say to the people that mean the most to you, you're probably not going to say, you really should try to watch more television. That's not something you would say, I would think. You don't need to tell somebody, well, you know, you really ought to try to get enough sleep at night. Those things aren't revelatory. They're not important like that. If I had only one thing left to say to the people that mattered the most to me, I would say to them, I love you. And I want you to tell other people how much you love them. I would want them to know that work is not the most important thing in your life. It's a part of your life, but it shouldn't consume you. And certainly not to the place of damaging relationships. The last thing. So the last words that Jesus ever said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, you find in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's called the Great Commission. And these are the words that he said, and we should take these as being very important. If Jesus thought these should be his last words, they're important. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. The Great Commission. Make disciples, baptize, and teach. That's the mission of the church. That's what it is that we're called to do in all the different forms that we do it. And what I would like for us to look at this morning is the ordinance of baptism. One of those three things that Jesus says to his disciples, this is what you need to do. And what I want us to look at this morning are three things, and I mentioned them at the very beginning. I want us to leave here knowing, what is baptism? What is baptism not? And why do we get baptized? What's important about it? Say, you know, I go to church. I've been going to church my whole life. I don't know that I've ever been baptized. Why is it important? Well, that's what I want you to understand this morning. Baptism is one of the three ordinances of the Protestant church. Baptism, communion, and foot washing. The reason that those three are important to us is because those are three things that Jesus demonstrated while he was on earth. And two of those, he commanded that we do. He said, every time you come together, he said, take communion, do this often so that you remember me. And we do that here often. He also then said to his disciples, you need to baptize people. Why? Why was that important? The Catholic Church recognizes seven of them, but they're called sacraments. That's different than what the Protestant Church believes. But the word in there that's important is the word ordinance. You have to understand what that word means. All that simply means is it's an authoritative decree or a direction. An authoritative decree. It's where we get the word ordination. So as your pastor, I have been ordained. And all that simply means is that I have been set apart for the purpose of preaching the word. The authoritative word of that comes from our church. That's where that comes from. If you've ever been to a local government meeting, you may have heard the word ordinance associated with the word zoning. A zoning ordinance. So what that simply means is that somebody in position of authority said, you can only have this kind of building here, you can only have that kind of structure there, and so it's authoritative. Baptism was set aside as by an authoritative word of Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. That's what baptism is. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. What is baptism? Now, the word baptism comes from the Greek baptisma, which is the verbal form of the word baptizo, baptism. Romans 6, starting the first verse. Because we're going to begin to see now what is it that baptism is. What is it a representation of for us today? Why do we do it? You there? Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, sixth book. You there? Okay, if you're ready. First verse. He says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he gives, he lives to God. Baptism within the church has taken many forms. There are those that sprinkle. There are those that pour. At Remnant Life, we believe in immersion. Because the word baptism means to put under and to completely cover, usually again by water. And we also again use the demonstration of Jesus. And you see this in Mark, the first chapter, the 9th and the 10th verses. It says this, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So Jesus himself was baptized. And then it says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. If Jesus knew that he needed to be immersed in the water and brought out again, that's good enough for me. That's what I want to do. I want to follow Jesus' example in everything that we do. But even with this definition, there still lie differing views within the church of how baptism should be done. Now, at Remnant Life Church, as I said, we believe here in immersion. We also believe in what's called believer's baptism, and I'm going to talk more about that in a few minutes. Many practice infant baptism. Now, at Remnant Life Church, we do not baptize infants. We dedicate them to the Lord. Those that practice infant baptism do that because they believe that just as it says in Psalm 51:5 that we are all born in sin, that the child should be baptized in order to cleanse them from that sin that is inherent in each of us. Well, at Remnant Life, we hold to a teaching that's known as Age of Accountability. Some of you may be familiar with that. Most people believe that that comes from the old Jewish tradition of the 13-year-old boy who has his bar mitzvah or the girl who has her bat mitzvah, where she transitions and he transitions from being an adolescent into being an adult. For what we believe here, and what I believe is biblical, is the aspect that children that do not know the difference between right and wrong, they're not at that age of accountability. If God were to take them home, they would go to heaven. Amen. They would go to heaven because they don't know the difference. They don't have that ability to be able to discern what's right and wrong, what I should and shouldn't do. That's why we don't baptize infants, because they don't know the significance of the act of what it is that they're doing. And it's too important to put it on someone rather than making that decision. It's that important in our lives as Christians. We will dedicate infants. We give them. We've done that many times here. We have any kids here? Well, Gray's upstairs. We dedicated Gray here. Right? So it's such a privilege to be able to do that. But that's different than baptism. It varies from person to person. I've heard accounts of five-year-old children that have given their lives over to the Lord, and they can tell you exactly why. It's different. That's why we let God judge those things. But here at Remnant Life Church, baptism is important. And I've only waited this long to have our first one because I was waiting for folks to say, hey, I think I'd like to be baptized. Because it is a decision that you make. Because baptism is a proclamation. That's what it is. Baptism, you are proclaiming something very publicly, and this is what you're proclaiming, that your faith, your allegiance, and your commitment is to Jesus Christ. That's what you're proclaiming when you're baptized. It's a public act. And it's done through a symbolic joining with Jesus. Now, we just read in Romans 6 how Jesus died and then was raised again, and with him sin also died and was left when Jesus came and rose again. That is what we have with him in our lives. When we give ourselves to him as his children, our old lives, Paul writes, are gone, and everything becomes new. When you make the decision to be baptized, you are taking a physical step to demonstrate, when I go in that water, I am identifying with Jesus Christ who died for my sins. When I am raised out of that water, I'm identifying myself with Jesus who rose from the dead in victory over sin. That's what you do. You're proclaiming who Jesus Christ is in your life. And not every Christian has done this. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. The other thing it's also a proclamation of is it's your intent and desire, watch this now, to die to yourself. When I am baptized, I am declaring, I am laying aside my old life. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want these things to hold to me. There's something in my life that I'm dealing with right now, and I've got to do something that just turns that over to the Lord in a way that I've never done before. If you come to the place of saying, you know, I think I need to be baptized, you are presenting your life fully to the Father, fully to him. Here's the third thing then with that. And I think this is so important for us to understand. Baptism is an act of warfare against Satan. It's an act of war against him. Just as when we take communion together, we are coming in defiance to what it is that Satan wants to try to do in our lives. We receive communion for healing. We receive communion for a clear understanding of something in our lives. We receive communion on behalf of someone else just to say, you know, God, I want to present them to you, and I'm going to take this communion just to seal that promise of their lives. But I also do it in order to do warfare against the enemy. Baptism does the same thing. I've talked to so many people. I've had the privilege of baptizing a number of people. And in that time, in my conversations with them, and we're going to do that here, when we have our service, when you come into the water, before I baptize you, I'm going to ask, why are you here? Why are you being baptized? And I've heard all kinds of answers. I've heard, well, I've never been baptized before. I think that's something I should do. And I say, yes, I think you should as well. I've had people say to me, well, you know what? There's some things in my heart and in my mind that I want God to deal with. And so I just want to present myself to him fully. I say, yeah, I think you should. Because when we do that, we are saying to Satan, you have no place in my life. I belong to the Father completely, and I'm declaring this publicly before everyone else. He is my Lord, and he is my Savior. That's what baptism is. It's a powerful element of what it means to walk as a Christian. Now, what is baptism not? Because this too is important to understand. Watch this now. Baptism is not an act that brings forgiveness of sins or salvation. Hear me on this. Baptism does not save you. There is only one thing that saves you, and that's when you confess your sins, you believe in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and invite him in to be Lord of your life. That's the only thing that will save you. Baptism is not an act of salvation. And there are some places that allow that to be taught, that teach that, you know, unless you're baptized, you're not saved. My friends, that's not true. There is only one act that brings salvation to your life. And it is not something that you do. It's something that's been done for you. Jesus gave his life for you to save you from your sins. You being baptized is not going to save you from your sins. Just as coming to church doesn't save you from your sins. Reading your Bible doesn't save you from your sins. Putting money in the box does not save you of your sins. Being a good person doesn't save you from your sins. There's only one thing that does, and that's calling on the name of Jesus. So you need to understand that when you are baptized, that does not somehow take the place of giving your life to God, of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. You do not need to be baptized to be saved, but you must be saved in order for baptism to have the meaning that it does. You must be saved. Because if you come to be baptized and you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ and invited him to be your Lord and Savior, all you're doing is getting wet. That's it. That's all you're doing. There is no meaning to it unless you have given your life over to him. Because what is it that you're being baptized for? If not that. If that's all baptized, I am just declaring he is my Lord and Savior. My friends, the only way that baptism will have any meaning in your life is to first acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And before we leave here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that because it's the single most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. And again, you think, man, I've been going to church my whole life. Listen, man, my mom and my dad, they're Christians. My brothers, man, I can recite verses up and down, left and right. I've got Sunday school perfect attendance pins that go all the way down to my belt. They don't do Sunday school pins anymore, do they? All the older folks are going, yeah, man, I know what that's about. Gosh, I guess I'm one of those now, aren't I? I hope you say them. Being baptized is a declaration. It is not salvation. What you need to understand is that you're not being baptized to be forgiven of your sins. You're not being baptized as a requirement of a church. Remnant Life Church will love you and welcome you whether you're baptized or not. My concern for you is, do you know the Lord as your Savior? That's my concern. That's my question for each of us here. You're not being baptized because your family or friends are baptized. That has nothing to do with you. You are being baptized solely on the basis of your profession and your desire for people to know this is my faith in Jesus Christ. Now again, it is taught in some churches that baptism is a part of salvation. Can I share with you what the Bible says? In Mark 1:15, they're the first words recorded of Jesus' ministry. And it says that the time has come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Now watch what he says. Repent and believe the good news. Those were Jesus' instructions. Repent and believe. Didn't say anything about being baptized. Not for salvation. You remember Paul and Silas. Sean just said Paul and Silas in here, and you referenced this before. You always do that when you come here. You always say something in our conversations that I'm going to preach on. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are sitting in jail. And they're shackled to the wall. You remember this story. And God comes and an earthquake strikes. And it's so violent that it breaks all the shackles. And every single one of the prisoners are loose and their doors are open. The jailer comes running into Paul and Silas's cell and drops on his knees before them. Because he knows what's next for him, doesn't he? All everybody's escaped, what's he going to get? He's done. That's the penalty. And he said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Go get baptized. No, that's not what Paul said. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then Paul in his letter, and you read a few more chapters after what we read this morning. This is chapter 10, verse 9. Paul says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's only one act, my friends, that brings salvation, and that's asking Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. So understand that about baptism. If you're coming to be baptized, you're not suddenly now, well, good, I'm baptized, I'm good. No, did you accept Jesus Christ into your life? That's the single most important thing that you will do. Now, here's the last part of this. What is baptism? It's a declaration. What is baptism not? It's not salvation for my life, not baptism alone. The third thing is then, why should we be baptized? Well, as we said earlier, baptism is a representation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a physical presentation of something that we participate in. Just as Jesus was lowered into the ground, we lower ourselves into the water. Just as he was resurrected again, we come up out of the water. Baptism is a picture of that act that Jesus did for us. And it's a picture of someone very important. Because I can tell you this, I was baptized when I was, I guess, probably about 11 or 12, probably 12 years old. Because that's the same year I accepted Jesus as my Savior. 12 years old. I don't remember the exact date, but I don't have to think very hard, and I can visualize exactly what it looked like, what it felt like when I walked down into the water. I can remember, I can remember the reflection of the water in the ceiling, the light that reflected on the ceiling. I can remember that my pastor was there, Reverend Gail Ryle, and he had my dad come in, and my dad actually baptized me. I remember that like it was 5 minutes ago. And you know why that's important? Because when I remember those details, I'm remembering also why that happened and who it is that I worship, who it is that I follow that had me desire to go and do that. And so it's about someone very important. Baptism also makes a very bold statement about you. Did you know that? When you agree to be baptized, when you make that decision to be baptized, that says something about you. Now, in first century culture, when Jews came to be baptized, again, we read about John the Baptist. Where did he do that? At the Jordan River. It's a very public place. People came, that was the primary source of water through that area, was the Jordan River. So people were down there all the time. You didn't baptize privately. It was a very public declaration. In first century, when people were being baptized as believers, they were doing something that was contrary to what it was that had been taught their whole lives and through their culture. They were taking a risk. You know, you take a little bit of a risk today when you get baptized too, because people see you. They know what it is that you're stating. And from that point on, church, can I tell you, there is nothing more important to you than living your life in the way that you just demonstrated your declaration. Who you are, how you speak, what you do, how you react, controlling my temper, dealing with the things of my life that are either going to point people to Jesus or they're going to make them back away. It's a bold statement about you. You've given your life to Jesus as his follower. That's what you're saying. You're committing yourself to the process of discipleship. Now, I'll come back to that word somewhere down the road. Discipleship is one of those things that Jesus commanded in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. What does that mean? I share him with everybody I meet. I want them to come know who Jesus is, and I want them to grow in him. That's discipleship. Well, my friends, we are always in a place of discipleship in our lives. I'm always learning more about who the Father is. I'm always learning more about his word and what it means to put that into my life. And when I am baptized, I am stating publicly, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of his. And the other thing it also says about you is that it is an ongoing transformation in your life. It's ongoing. Always moving forward. Always saying, God, examine my heart. Never allowing pride to enter in, to say somehow, you know, I've got this. Look at me. I can take care of these things. I've got what it takes in order to be able to make the good decisions. I really don't need to spend time reading or in prayer because I'm at the good place where I need to be. I am always in the process of bringing myself before the Father. So, what should that look like then? As a follower, as an imitator of Jesus Christ, what should that look like? There are four things, and then I'm done. My friends, you read the word, you know that Jesus loved the undeserving. And now, so should we. Should we not? Jesus forgave undeserving people, and so should we. They don't have to merit forgiveness. When somebody wrongs me because of my love for him and because of his presence in me, I'm going to forgive freely, unconditionally, because that's who I'm following. Jesus refused to flirt around with sin. Well, so do I. I don't want to do that. I don't want to allow anything into my life that is going to take me away from that intimate relationship with Him. I'm not going to just close a blind eye. Well, that's not that bad. Or I kind of dabble around in this. Well, you know what? Nobody sees me. Father's with us all times. God knows the most intimate things of our lives. There's a friend of mine who has just started a pretty intense ministry of helping Christians, not guys out, Christians, be set free of the addiction of pornography. And he's swamped with men that are just crying out to be set free. Church, don't flirt with those things. Don't allow the enemy to be able to come and to bring those foxes in to steal from you. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of the glory of what it is to follow Him with all of your life. Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, now, neither do I. And then lastly, Jesus was absolutely committed to living a life to the cross. In other words, laying everything down, giving everything for Him. Well, church, so do I. And that's what I want us to understand here, that as we come to the place of being baptized, if you're ready to make that step, if you're ready to be obedient to what the Word has said, and nobody can make you do that, that's your decision. The only thing you need is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and then understand that when I do that, I am making a declaration that I belong to Him completely, wholly, in everything that I say and do. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that in this hour that You are speaking to our hearts and to our minds. I pray, Father, that in this moment that You are revealing to us Your will. Now, Lord, we know that we have been commanded through the Great Commission to go out and to make disciples and to baptize and to teach. And Father, those things need to be a part of my life too. So, Lord, the first thing I want to do is I want to welcome each and every person here, that if there is anybody in this room who has never asked You to come to be the Lord of their life, that this would be the hour. This would be the moment. And I want to just give you that opportunity right now. I don't want anybody looking around. Just allow this to be an intimate moment between you and the Father. But if you're in here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I don't mean going to church. I don't mean reading your Bible. Those are all very important things. But you've never said, Jesus, I ask You to come into my life. I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. And all I want you to do for me is just slip your hand up and take it down. And by doing that, you're not joining a church. All you're doing is just saying, Pastor Dave, this is the moment. I'm asking Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I just pray in this moment right now that your heart is being opened to Him in a way that's brand new. And Father, I thank You this morning. You know the hearts and You've seen the hands of each person here this morning. And I pray now, Father, right now, that there is a transformation that is taking place in each and every heart. And Father, we are releasing our will to You. And Father, I pray that as these that raise their hand are now saying, Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I ask You to come to forgive me of my sins and to become Lord of my life so that I may live for You every single day. Father, I thank You that in that moment there is a new name written in the book of life and that there is rejoicing in heaven. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoice when one person comes to know You. And Father, for each person here that does know You, Lord, if they have never been baptized before, I pray, prick their hearts. Let them know without a shadow of a doubt that this is what it is that You want them to do. And Father, I pray that we will do this with a heart that's just so willing and open to be used of You in everything and every way of our lives. Father, in everything that we do, we give You all the glory and all the honor. And so thank You, Father, for this very precious moment. Thank You, God, for this time. And I pray that as we leave here, that You will go before each and every one of my brothers and sisters, keep them safe, and whenever an opportunity presents itself, that they will be quick to show this is who they love. This is who they follow, Jesus Christ. I ask all of these things in Your name. Amen.